Right, the angle isn't too steep. Do I have to point higher? Good, because there's not going to be any pointing today. I look too good. My face ID doesn't recognize me. So we always hear about redemption, but we don't. Can you think of any stories in particular? We hear that it happens, but who has it happened to? It's a pretty good example in Daniel 2 through 4. It's a man by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar. What? No, it's not. Oh, I thought it was on when you gave it to me. My bad.
Oh, sorry.
You did show me at one point. There we go.
Are you starting over?
I will start over.
Okay.
I'll start over. I don't know if you noticed by now, but it's redemption is the name of the game this morning. It's the man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel 2 through 4. I'll be reading and kind of talking about what goes on there and why I felt it was important to say and speak about this. When you think of Nebuchadnezzar, you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the flaming furnace. But there's more after that, and not just him being amazed, but him being amazed by other things that happen afterwards as well. We can start in Daniel 2:1, which is where we'll start our wonderful Bible journey. It says, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turn into piles of rubble. So, no pressure. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Which is a little high risk, high reward, but go big or go home, no? Once more they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream and he will interpret it, and we will interpret it. The king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. And I don't think that's preferable. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. I mean, as we're about to see, or do they? This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death, which is not great. Then when, is it Arioch or Arioch? I'm guessing Ach. Yeah, I'm guessing Arioch. The commander of the king's guard had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon. Daniel spoke to him with the wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he may interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. That Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes time and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and light dwells within him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what I have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. So, as you can imagine, he interprets the dream to the king and saves the wise men, which is, you know, kind of a little bit of a good thing. I don't think people dying is too great, but... Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king. I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what the dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that have passed through your mind as you were laying in bed are these." So this is kind of his first step, his first allure to there being a higher God than what he believes. So right answer for Nebuchadnezzar. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come. And the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have a greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before stood you a large stature. And before you stood a large statue. Wow. An enormous, dazzling statue. Awesome in appearance. The head of its statue is made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, and bronze, the silver and gold were all broken to pieces and become like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and birds of the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a kingdom, one of bronze. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw, the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, and even as you saw, iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to other people. It will crush all those kingdoms and will bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. So this is he's explaining on how God will set up his holy kingdom instead of all these other kingdoms who think they might be better than each other and better of all for all time and will always rule, but they will always be smashed by the rock, not cut out by human hands. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered an offering that an incense be presented to him. Big words, okay. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mystery, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. As you can see, that loyalty and amazement to Daniel's high God will not be lasting too terribly long, he never got the chance to understand his power and their religion. And so this next chapter, Daniel 3, is probably a story that you're very familiar with. It's the image of gold in the blazing furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, or 90 feet and 9 feet wide. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image of that king. Nebuchadnezzar had it set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up," which is not, can't do that, because you're not allowed to worship other idols, but he doesn't understand that. And I don't really think he cares. He thinks he is the greatest and the mighty king, and all shall worship his gods in Israel. Babylon. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples in every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and any kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? He still thinks that he's better. He's better than, his gods are better than their gods. He's better than their gods. He still doesn't quite truly get the power of the Lord. But he will soon understand that and will learn his lesson. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the god we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw in the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." And it might be a son of the gods. This is his other example of his gradual conversion. Conversion almost never happens all at once. It's usually a gradual change. A gradual change to the truth in the Word of God and what is meant for you. And if people choose not to believe that, then they choose not to believe that. But they need to at least give it a chance. And as you can see, that he's starting to open up to the glory of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." He addresses him as the Most High God. He understands his power and his ruling that he has over the people and why he is the Most High God. He's given him these dreams and these miracles, and he understands that he protects his people and that he is the Most High God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So as you get farther through Daniel 3, you notice as this great miracle comes and gives him this example of his power, you notice that slowly he will, towards the end, refer to God instead of lowercase as uppercase, the uppercase God, noting that it is a separate God than the others that he says they would worship. In Daniel 3:28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants." Praise be to the God is capitalized, which notes that he is understanding that this is separate. This isn't just any other god of a foreign nation that he doesn't care, he doesn't believe in. He only worships his own gods. He's converting finally to this, to Lord and Christ, which I think is pretty cool. Daniel 4 now. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most God has performed for me. Now this is really closing on it. He is pretty official and very, very convinced at this point. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders, his a kingdom, an eternal kingdom, his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and told me the dream. He is called Belshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy God is in him. The spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. But you may be doubtful, because he names Daniel after his God, not just understanding that he is powered by the Holy Spirit. He is not fully converted. He is still part believing in his gods. And as you can see, he's naming him after his gods because he thinks Daniel is this great man who is part of his gods. And he doesn't yet understand truly. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. Yeah, he is called Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy God is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, king, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there stand before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit was abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven. Called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals free from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground and the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till 7 times pass by for him," or 7 years. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know the Most High Sovereign over all the kingdoms and earth gives them to anyone he wishes and sets them over the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. At the beginning, he kind of states this is a past tense. This isn't what's happening right now. So this is after the events of what's to come in Daniel 4. As you can see, it is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. At this point, at the beginning, he understands it's the Most High God. He doesn't still believe in his gods even a little bit. He understands. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw grew large and strong, with the top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing fruit for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, but its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, your majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against any lord the king, or against any my lord the king. Decree the Most High is issued against my lord the king. Okay. You will be driven away from the people. You will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree and its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then that your prosperity will continue. This is like the real climax of the story. His understanding becomes clear after these 7 years of being in the wilderness, where he finally knows and finally fully converts to Christ and his understands God's holy greatness. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, Is this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lip, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from the people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claw of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven as my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and it became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride he is able to humble. I always think that the message of the Lord is strongest when it's in you. It's these stories of other people being saved will almost not always have the same gravity of being touched yourself by the Lord. And his starting in just, in three chapters, he goes from self-righteous and selfish and worshiping his own gods and ordering people to do that, and even threatening to kill people if they don't, to finally to being gone for years and coming back, and instead of being angry, being thankful that he's been restored, and not just because he has his power back, but because he knows the power of the Lord. And he is no longer selfish. And as you can see, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That is his own. He was prideful. he said, even before the dream happened, he said, but this is my majesty, this kingdom that I've built in my majesty. And not that it was given to him, but that he created it. And you may make things in your own work, but there's only really one person who helps you with that. You don't do things really in your own power, but great things are done by the Lord, which I think is a great message. And that anybody, even selfish kings, self-righteous, and killing God's disciples will even be turned into God's disciples himself, which is truly amazing. And I believe that that can be done with anybody. Anybody on earth, anybody in the universe, I feel if they have their own beliefs and they are touched by the heart of the God and they are willing to open themselves towards him, then they can be restored to not only their former glory, but a higher glory. And I just think that that is an amazing message, and that is all I have to say.